He turns. He fires for the win. He's got the bucket at the buzzer.
Weber back to Bibby. Has the open shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, up on those feet. Put those hands together. And we'll meet tonight starting five for your Sacramento Kings.
Welcome to the Kings Beat Podcast. I am James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. Joining me today, Fox 40, Sean Cunningham. Sean, how are you?
I am doing quite well indeed. We actually get some Kings items to talk about this week. So, release of the schedule, pretty fun, but overall doesn't really matter. You just get to find your... It's interesting to see how like the in-season tournament kind of plays, because that's such a new factor. But no, I'm good, guys. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. And, of course, Brendan Nunes from the Kings Wolves podcast. Brendan, how are you?
Doing well. I'm ready for the schedule release overreactions, the teams that are just hated by the league and the league favorites. You know, happens every year.
What we'll call them Thursday overreactions. Sean, of course, hates those. Hi. Okay, so let's just take care of the business. If you're watching here on YouTube and you don't mind, give us a thumbs up. If you are not a subscriber to the page, please do subscribe. I don't know. We're over 3,000 subscribers. We're growing. We're building. Love it. Everything's going well there. Jump on board with the Kings Beat. Go to thekingsbeat.com. Become a premium subscriber so you get invites to everything like the happy hours and all of the content that we create during the season, during the off season, everything else. And it gets delivered right to your inbox, especially while everything is so chaotic on social media right now. And outside of that, it is NBA schedule day. We're going to talk a lot about the schedule today because there's all kinds of fun nuances to this season's schedule. We can start breaking things down, but let's just start with just how is everyone doing? How, Sean, Brennan, what's going on? How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Is there something going on I should be concerned with? No, I'm still enjoying summer, man. It's been a little warm, which I like, but I went out to a concert earlier this week and it was sweltering. I was melting, but it was like all in good fun. It was a lot of fun. Went and saw Post Malone.
Oh, Brendan, you missed Post Malone, and now you're upset about this.
Yeah, I'm mad that I did not know Post Malone was in the area. I didn't even know of this Toyota Amphitheater. I'm not going to lie. I'm still getting used to the area very clearly. Jesus. Yeah, you know, I'll stay on my toes.
It's a long way out there.
I am going to some comedy show on Saturday at the Hard Rock, which I remember not hearing great things about, but never been there either.
Whoa, hold on. Yeah. What do you mean? This guy just comes in firing.
Like, firing, he's just like trashing all of our local spots, Sean.
What do you mean?
I thought
Sean was the one that said not great things.
No, about the what are you talking about?
The Hard Rock.
No, I was just there. I saw Chris Tucker there earlier this year. I saw Halsey there earlier this year.
Okay.
I feel like I saw some other thing there this year as well, but no, it's a new casino. I'm not really a gambler. I don't like casinos because it's filled with like cigarette smoke. But they do a lot of the new ones do a really good job of kind of getting rid of a lot of that shit that just hovers in the air. So no, I mean, look, fantastic venue, really, man. Like, especially like because of the Hard Rock and because of what Thunder Valley has done with this brand new music venue, as here we are on Kings Beat talking about all these venues. But in addition to Golden One Center, where the Kings play, in addition to the amphitheater, in addition to like Ace of Spades throughout Sacramento, all these music venues are bringing really quality acts. So I would go to those websites and take a look, because that's how you find out that Post Malone is in your backyard. Also, Comedy Club, Punchline, fantastic. The night I went to Post Malone for two nights, Hasan Minhaj was there doing a small comedy show. It was one of those things that was announced very quickly and sold out very fast. So put your alerts on, pal.
There we go.
Punchline, came to a couple.
What did you hear about the Hard Rock that was so trash?
I thought that you said not great things when you went to Chris Rock.
That's not true.
No. It's just a long way out there.
First of all, it's not a long way. It's a long driving way. It's driving up to like Marysville, which I get, not the most certainly not the most convenient, but the amphitheater and Hard Rock are right next to each other. You know, if you've been to the amphitheater, it's great.
Yeah.
Getting out of there can be a bitch. I mean, that is a lot of traffic, but yeah. Whew, yeah.
The amphitheater is a lot like it's designed like the shoreline. Right. Down in Mountain View. So I don't know if you've been to Shoreline, Brendan, but
I have done Shoreline.
Yeah. So if you sit on the hill, by like the third song, your underwear severely wedged up your behind and you've slid down the hill at least like 8 feet. And then by the end of the show, everyone is at the bottom of the hill all squished together because you just keep sliding down the hill. But overall, like it's good to have these venues. And like I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Crest to see a concert. Like even that was like, it's such a great venue. The acoustics are incredible and it's just a fun spot. So I agree, Sean, there are like a lot of cool spots around Sacramento to go hit shows. We've of course got sidetracked, which is something that always happens.
No.
And then of course, someone in the comments like, oh, they don't start talking basketball until the 5:47 mark of the podcast.
And it's always the most upvoted comment. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah, well, it's fine. They can do whatever they want. Like, but either way, we don't always get to catch up, especially during the off season, as three friends that cover this crazy Sacramento Kings team. We do have the schedule to talk about, and like my biggest takeaway early on is shock and awe that the Kings are getting recognized for their good season last year with 22. Nationally televised games. Now we can him and ha we can fight over what's nationally televised and what's not because NBA TV for a lot of people is not nationally televised because of course they are also on NBC Sports Bay Area or NBC Sports California, but as of right now from my count I have them at 6 TNT games, 5 ESPN games, and 11 NBA TV games. And there's this other thing that's hiding within the schedule, within those nationally televised games that I want to point out. Of the 22, I count 16 are at Golden One Center. And so, number one, I just say, like, hat tip to the Golden One Center crowd, Kings fans, because I think there's nothing worse than watching a nationally televised game where you hear the ball bounce and it's reverberating through the building because there's no fans. So I think the NBA not only rewarded the Kings for their strong play last season, but also rewarded Kings fans by making sure that they were part of the national TV package. What are you guys' thoughts? Brendan, 22 nationally. Well, we can say 11 of full-fledged national television games and 11 of the bonus version with NBA TV.
Yeah, I do kind of put them in different categories, but either way, I think it's obviously great Sacramento is getting this. I think to your point, so many of them being home games is a great opportunity for people to see the environment that is Golden One Center loud every single night, especially when they're given something to cheer about like they were last year. And the Kings are just really entertaining. They're one of the best offenses and one of the worst defenses, which means you're going to get a lot of buckets and chaos, really. They were top 10 in clutch games, had the clutch player of the year last year, a lot of games going down to the wire. I think just a lot of athletes and a style of play that's really entertaining to watch with that high pace. So it makes sense. I'm a little surprised that it's that number already, but I do think it's understandable. They play a fun brand of basketball, and this is also the league kind of betting that they're going to stay good.
Staying good.
I think it's exactly what we talked about. I mean, there's people who are pissed off in recent years that they're not on national TV. And by the way, I do consider NBA TV national TV. I am one of those people that do, because I'm sorry. Like, I don't care if you're still on your home market, like that opens, that gives eyeballs for free. Well, obviously with a cable package, a basic cable package or whatever streaming service you might have, but that gives people a glimpse into your full game. And you're rewarded for that. I thought there'd be a lot of flexing in the schedule. I had, you know, had some people tell me that that was something that they had expected and was pitching for. And I think the league said, okay, we'll earn it. Like, prove us wrong. And the Kings did. I mean, getting third in the West, having an excited brand of basketball that we witnessed. And then you have all the accolades, as Brendan mentioned, with the Clutch Player of the Year. You've got all NBA. You've got the Coach of the Year. You've got Executive of the Year. And then you have this incredible playoff series that goes seven games with a dynasty type team that's kind of nearing the end of its rope, but for the most part. And it's just so fun. And so you're being rewarded for that. They're like, okay, they're going to schedule it. And it's King's job to keep those games because as I mentioned, they can be flexed out. So I don't expect them to. I think that, you know, we all expect them to still play the exciting brand of basketball. And you know, hey man, you got that beam that was really gimmicky and people want to see it. So that playing at on the home court in front of a rabid fan base is going to be fun. It's exactly what the NBA wants, even if it is a small market. And that's the NBA likes to, you know, show off their small markets oftentimes during the regular season. So I'm thrilled for Kings fans because they finally have something to celebrate. It's been a while since you've had this much attention on the team and a lot of positive attention, I'll add. And now it's up to the team to make sure it's all warranted and they get to keep it and they're deserving of it. So kudos to them. It'll be a fun season ahead. And yeah, there's certainly some little things to maybe talk about within the schedule, but I think that the national TV audience and attention is going to be very much welcomed by Kings fans when they look at the full schedule, which comes out really, really soon.
Yeah. Okay. So let's touch base on a couple of things. Number one, the Kings are up to, like, again, it's 22. That's what I'm seeing. They can be flexed out of games, but you're not going to get flexed out of 22. There's no possibility for, you know, to get flexed out of quite a few, but not that many. So if they don't just completely come out and stumble and really, really struggle, a lot of their games are in, you know, November and December. They have a ton late in the season as well. And we'll get into some of the nuances of the schedule, but I want to make sure people understand that last season, I believe the number was 44 games that the Golden State Warriors were on national television. And so, like, this number might sound huge to Kings fans, but it's like the first step of being a good team and getting some recognition. The next step is to get a whole bunch more of these games. And so I just want to point that out. There's also some anomalies to the schedule. Like, there's only 80 games as of right now because of the in-season tournament. The in-season tournament is going to take place in early December. And so there's, you know, the Kings will have some of those games to contend with. They'll have to figure out whether they're like a high seeded team or a low seeded team. If they don't make the in-season tournament, then they get two regular season games during this little window in December. So that's something to point out. Outside of that, just looking at the games that they are on national television, I don't see a single bad team that they're playing. I mean, if we're going to say who didn't make the playoffs, the Mavs are the only team that I see that the Kings are playing on national television. They have a March 26th game on TNT. They have a March 29th game against the Mavs on NBA TV. Outside of that, and we all know that, you know, of course, the NBA loves Luka. The only other game where the Kings are playing a non-playoff team is early in the season when, as part of the in-season tournament, they're one of the highlighted Friday night games where they're playing on ESPN against the Spurs. And so the rest of the games are all against Golden State, Lakers, Clippers, Denver, Celtics, Suns, like the Heat, Sixers. Like, last season, the one real national television game the Kings had, they got flexed out of because the Houston Rockets were so bad that they didn't want that on like a Tuesday night. That's not going to happen this year with the rest of the teams that they're playing. So I think that's also a nod of respect for this team. I guess the question is, like, what are you guys looking for when you are looking at the schedule, when you're breaking it down? And is there certain things that like catch your eye or that you're like, okay, I want to know how bad this schedule is in this way or that way? Is there something that jumps out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You look at least for me, and I don't have it conveniently. It's on my phone. I don't have it conveniently laid out in front of me, but I will say I look at the amount of back-to-backs. I look at the amount of 3 and 4 nights, and I look at the holidays to see, you know, obviously where the team will be around the holidays. Do they have any holiday games? And then lastly, to me, I like to see the longest road trip, longest home stand. And if there's a good balance or if there's a, you know, boy, you're going to have the majority of your schedule, the majority of your home games in the first half or the second half of the season, things like that are things that catch my eye when I look at the schedule.
Yeah, Brendan?
I mean, I don't really have much else to add. I'm curious to see how the in-season tournament gets laid out for sure this year. And the whole 80 games, I'm curious to see like what that chunk of time looks like and how they leave that flexibility open for those final two based on if Sacramento does make it into that next round of the play-in or not. But I mean, that's typically the same stuff for me. I think back-to-backs and like, you know, are you playing the more difficult team on the second night or the first? What the travel is like in between those back-to-backs at times. Definitely looking for that one long East Coast road trip, or there'd be a couple, but typically one extremely long road trip. And I wouldn't have thought of the holidays, but that definitely makes a lot of sense. And do you have a preference of like if they're home or away on the holidays?
Personally, I don't. I really don't care because, you know, my life doesn't really change that much. So from a selfish standpoint, but even, you know, the Kings have been blessed to be at least around the Christmas holiday. They're usually home. In recent memory, they've always been kind of home for the holiday. So that part doesn't really matter.
Yeah. This year, I mean, they have a back-to-back on the 22nd and 23rd of December, and then they play again on the 26th of December, but they've got the 24th and the 25th off. They do have, they're on the road around Thanksgiving. They play the day before, the day after Thanksgiving. Outside of that, like, I don't think that there's a lot of other holidays that fall into this question. And then
like the, you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Well, they do play New Year's Eve. Like yeah, they do play, right. I think they play Memphis New Year's Eve. They're off New Year's Day.
Right.
Okay. So you guys asked about back-to-backs. This season they have a total of 15 back-to-backs. Of those, 6 are home and home, which is always weird because that's something new. 6 are road and road. 1 is home and road. And 2 are road and home. And of those games, the one thing I would point out that's really interesting, they play the Utah Jazz on the first game of the season. That's opening night in Utah, October 25th at the Delta Center. They do not have another road game in Utah, which is spectacular because that is one of the worst back-to-backs in the league. And they don't have a customary where you either, it's typically you play in Utah one night and then you either fly home or you fly to Phoenix or you fly somewhere else. And the whole entire trip usually wipes you out. They don't have that on the schedule, which to me is really good. So again, a 6-6 split on home and homes and road and roads. I think that's fair. The other three games, the two that are road and home and the one that's home and road, one of the games is in California the whole time. So from what I could see. So even if it's like you play at home one night and you play in LA the next, I think that's one. You play in LA one night and you come back home. Like, so they're all moderate, which is good to see. What else? What other stats that I have of these? The road trips. Okay, so the beginning on January 25th in Golden State, the Kings have a 7-game, 12-day road trip. If you add on the travel days, it's more like a 14-day trip, and it's all over the place. They also have a 6-game road trip in November, and they have 1 5-game road trip in January. Their November schedule is pretty ridiculous, so that's one thing I would point out. November, they have 14 games. 5 of them are at home and 9 of them are on the road, including one of those big road trips. And then the Kings, for some reason, always have a big road trip in January. This year, they have 2 road trips in January that are substantial. I believe it's a 5-game and then the 6-game that lead, no, no, the 7-game that leads into February is also on the road. When you look at those things, it, Sean, you mentioned earlier, like, are you hoping for a lighter schedule earlier? If you're looking at home and road splits, would you rather have a bunch of road games early in the season or a bunch of road games late in the season?
That's a good question. I think you just try to hopefully find balance. I think if you remember last year's schedule, for example, I believe it was February where there was like 3 home games.
Yeah.
Which is, you never want that. And again, that sounds jarring, but when you really think about it, you had 2 of them, I think, in the first week of February and then 1 at the end of February. And the reason being is, yes, you do have road trips, but you have the All-Star break. So that obviously takes a good chunk of your schedule out. So you want more balance than that, though. I feel like the league does a really good job of especially, you know, when we talk about back-to-backs, they've limited those. They've come down substantially from what they used to be. The 3 and 4 nights have come down even, I mean, way more than they used to. They used to,
and they eliminated the 4 and 5.
The 4 and 5 is brutal. Brutal. So, if I had my pick, and you're a team like the Kings historically are this season, I don't know that. You know, I've kind of said that I think they could take a step back in the wins column and still maybe end up being a better team by virtue of a decent playoff run, but those upper tier teams, the start of the season doesn't really have to be special, if you will. You know, you can kind of make up ground later in the season. But for a team, in my opinion, that's a little bit more of the up and coming team and took the league by surprise a little bit last year. And yeah, they finished 3rd, which is fantastic. But I still feel the Kings have their best success if they take advantage of the early schedule. When, you know, teams might not be at their best yet. And that's what's going to be interesting to see, is if this tournament plays a factor, this in-season tournament plays a factor in that. So I would say for the Kings, having the strength of schedule, you want it to have you want to get out of the gate hot. And typically, let's face it, the road has actually been a better recipe for success for the Kings than home court has. Maybe this is the year where that changes a little bit. Hopefully that happens, because, you know, as Alvin Gentry said before Mike Brown and, you know, Dave Yeager said before them, it's like, you know, you want to take care of home cooking. You know, that's it's so hard to win on the road. And it's been kind of an anomaly that the Kings have had success on the road for the better part of 2 seasons. So, yeah, we'll see how that shakes down.
I think, I'm going to point out to finish Sean's point there. The Kings were 25-16 at home on the road last year, and 23-18 on the road. I mean, at home. So they had a better road record than they had home record, which is a total anomaly. That's never happened. So go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, and I think, like, starting hot, to Sean's point, holds even more truth this year with the continuity that this roster has. Like, when you bring back as many guys as you did and you have such a similar look, I think that you have an advantage at the beginning of the year compared to some teams that maybe need to take a little bit more time to mesh. And that's not to say they're not going to obviously implement new things. And there's a couple of new guys that have to get accustomed. But I would think that beginning of the year that they have a little bit of a leg up on some of these other teams that have to get accustomed to new guys. And then the other thing that does kind of stand out to me is I feel like the Northeast road trip typically, I mean, you're playing a lot of really good teams, but I feel like the Kings have kind of struggled on that trip. Like, they've gotten smacked by Boston a couple years in a row. And Selfishly, as a guy that has a lot of Celtics friends still, I get a lot of crap every year. So I would love for them to, you know, at least have a competitive game in Boston. Philly, they typically, I feel like, come out on the wrong side of that one. And then you have good, like, Milwaukee and Cleveland in there as well. And you only play those teams twice. You're only going to go there one time all year. That Northeast road trip stands out to me a lot.
Yeah, and just for Brendan's point, I mean, the Kings don't play Boston until really late in the season. They play them in April, and it's on the second night of a back-to-back. They play the Knicks and then the Celtics the next night. But that trip is a little strange because then they go to Brooklyn and then they go to OKC, which is odd that you're flying back. And it's in the last, you know, couple of games of the season. Then they finish a back-to-back at home against New Orleans and Phoenix, and then they finish at home on April 14th against Portland. Yeah, so I get what you're saying, Brendan. Those road trips where, you know, you're playing really solid high-end teams, those aren't always easy, and the Kings have not fared well against the beasts of the East. That's usually a problem. So I'm kind of the opinion, like what Sean said, like you're going to trudge through the early part of the season. I think the early part of the season is where really, really, really good teams usually don't care as much. And so they're just trying to get themselves ready for the stretch run. And it brings me to a point that the Kings play, like Sean talked about last year, three games in February. And I think the weird thing about February was they were like the second and the third and then like the 28th, right? So there was this huge stretch where we didn't see the team. This year, they play four games in February and at home in February, 12 total. So they do have another eight road games in February. But in March, this is when I always feel like the bad teams in the NBA are on the road most of March and April. Because they're like, hey, it doesn't really matter anyways. We're just going to throw them out there and whatever happens to them happens to them as your playoff teams are ramping up. It's usually unbalanced. This year, the Kings have 11 home games in the month of March of their 16. And then their April is split 4-4. To me, that's another like scheduling anomaly that points to the NBA having at least some belief in the Sacramento Kings. That they're actually going to be a solid NBA team, because usually you don't have that many, especially after the All-Star break, that last 25 games of the season when a lot of teams cash it in, the Kings have a ton of home games. Does that say anything to you, Sean?
I see you working there. Honestly, no, I would kind of lean into more of that if there was like ABC games, for example, having some of those marquee matchups and having the league having that belief. I don't necessarily think it has much to do with that. I do think that they try to find some attractive nationally televised games for a team that is going to make a playoff run. So I see it working there. But honestly, if you're not really on ABC, I don't see the league really doing you much favor. You know, it's just kind of like you've got to schedule these games. And if you're on the road so much, you know, early on, then it's going to balance out eventually.
Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make too much of a difference to me. I mean, I do think later in the year, there definitely can be more interest. And it is intriguing to me to see like the end of the schedule of when you're playing Western Conference teams that, you know, it's hard to predict this far out because there's always unexpected teams that are worse or better than what they project. But, you know, you can kind of look and project that, okay, this is going to be a really important game towards the end of the year. And I think those being nationally televised, you know, will probably draw more eyes. So I do definitely see the logic there.
Okay. Yeah, so in March, they have four nationally televised games, but two ESPN, no, an ESPN, a TNT, and two NBA TVs. In April, of their eight games in April, four of them are nationally televised, including two on TNT, the Clippers and Pelicans, and then two on NBA TV, which are the Celtics and Suns. Overall, I mean, I think it's a pretty intriguing, like, I like the fact that they're going to be home, that they're going to have an opportunity to gain some ground late in the season with a home schedule. Now, again, they've got to take care of home cooking, which they haven't done in the past. So that kind of points to like a bigger issue, right? Like if the Kings can't figure out how to protect home court, then it doesn't matter that you have 16 nationally televised games at home. You know, it doesn't matter. Like you have to win those games and that's a big deal. So I definitely think that like there's a possibility here that we're seeing like the beginning of something. And certainly some respect from the league when it comes to schedule.
Is there any, like, a player coming back to SAC that stands out to you guys? Like, the Indiana game will be fun always, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess Rashawn coming back to SAC could be fun with Dallas.
Yeah, they play Rashawn a bunch of times, it feels like. Yeah, I did pencil in when it's, I think it's January 18th. They play against Indiana at home. So that's, of course, Buddy and Tyrese coming back. Sean, do those games mean anything more to you? Is there, and is there someone else that you're like really looking forward to seeing outside of? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Wembanyama. I think that's going to be the one where you want to see when he makes his first appearance in Sacramento. I had the date. I just don't have it in front of me at the moment. But yeah, I think that's that'll be fun. I mean, I think fans, especially if Summer League and all that was any indication of just how much people are looking forward to seeing this guy play, that'll be a good matchup or a good moment. I mean, I know they got the national TV game with the Spurs pretty early on. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a nice first glimpse. But yeah, having that moment, James, if you have it there, that date was what?
It's February 22nd. And right. It's the first game coming out of the All-Star break at home. So yeah. February 22nd, and then they have a couple of days off. Then they play, again, this is what I was talking about earlier. They play the Clippers in LA and then a back-to-back back at home against Miami. Just kind of an interesting scheduling anomaly.
And the other one, too, is that I had made a note of that I just don't have in front of me is the Thunder. I mean, you know, Chet Holmgren. I mean, he was kind of the Wembanyama of last year and coming off of an injury, and he played very, very well at Summer League. And I think there's still a lot of curiosity about him. So one of the two of those players that may not be come to the forefront of people. And, of course, obviously with LeBron, you know, people want to see LeBron. So I think people make reference of when he'll come through, and you know that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Warriors games will have a little something extra, I think.
Oh, they're gonna be spicy. Spicy games. Yeah,
Chris and Keegan playing, I think, will be a little bit notable. Okay. And then the other one that stands out to me is Joel Embiid hasn't played in Golden One Center since February 2021.
Right,
he's missed the last 2 years.
Okay. Okay, so some of these things. Brendan, you guys brought up the Warriors. The first three games, I believe, are either ESPN or TNT. So they open against Utah Jazz. They come home. Their home opener is October 27th against the Warriors on ESPN. It's a Friday night game. You asked about LeBron. LeBron James, they play 2 days later on Sunday. So October 29th. Their three games in October are the Jazz in Utah, and then the Warriors and Lakers at home. Then they play the Warriors again. To open November. So that's the one game. It's at Golden State that is not televised nationally. So that's something I would definitely point to. And then so their first six games, Utah, Golden State, LA, Golden State again. Then they travel to Houston for two games. They're not back to back, but two games in a row against the Rockets, and then they come back for Portland. So you'll get to see Scoot Henderson and Chris Murray on the 8th of November. OKC, you don't have to wait long for that. So Chet Holmgren comes in on the 10th of November, and then the Cavs are on the 13th of November, and then they take off for one of their that's a 6-game road trip. But yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, there are some games that will like circle, and I want to see Chet Holmgren. I think that's really interesting. I also like, I want to see Paolo Banchero against Keegan Murray. Like, that to me is still intriguing. I don't really care to see Jaden Ivey or the Detroit Pistons roll through Sacramento. That doesn't have like much appeal. But anyway, I think some of those games are kind of cool.
The Detroit game last year was actually pretty fun.
It was great. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we get to see Marvin. Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Shots fired.
Yeah, well. Oh, and it's funny, like the Chris Murray mention was like, I was thinking about that, and I was like, shoot, he may not play, you know, and you know, I don't know, maybe that's just it. Some of those guys, like, you know, obviously health is a concern, but I was thinking about that. I was like, man, will Chris Murray play? Would he be a rotational player for that team? I would hope so, based on, you know, but I think they're going to have some pretty high hopes over there. And even though I don't think they're very good, but trying to duplicate that. I mean, if you remember last year, Portland going into the season, people were like excited for them, you know, like, oh, they can be really good. Like, who's going to be better, the Kings or the Blazers? And that became pretty silly conversation very quickly.
Well, actually, I think didn't the Kings lose to the Blazers on opening night?
They did. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started to see like even the buzz build and look, I still think we're going to wait and see what happens there. But that franchise is on the precipice of disaster or a hard reboot. I wouldn't say disaster because I like a lot of their young players.
They need a hero.
Oh, they got one.
No, he's saying they
I know what he's doing. Yeah, I know what he's doing.
They do have one. They do have one, to be fair.
That's basically in the bag. They need a hero and then some.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need more than a hero, my guy.
They need more than a hero. I think that franchise has added an interesting position in sort of who and what they are. And then I think the other one is like the James Harden situation, which is just a nightmare. That's turning into like one of those grand debacles that the NBA loves to have. I don't know. So I want to see if he if he actually gets his wishes and upsets the balance in the Western Conference. And I don't know that he upsets it in a good way, but upsets it. So like, I don't know about you guys, but if he ends up on the Los Angeles Clippers, are you okay with that? Cause that doesn't seem like it's a bad deal for the Kings.
I mean, I still think he's pretty good, but the Clippers will always be like the hypothetical best team in the NBA.
Paper champs.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm still not writing off a James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George team.
Russell Westbrook.
And by the way, I'm not either, because this is the year where, like it or not, they have to. Like, you're pot committed. It hasn't worked, but they haven't been healthy, and they haven't been able to have their full slate of guys, you know, and you need Kawhi and you need Paul George, and hopefully this is the year where they can play in basically every game together. And I say hopefully for Clipper fans, but I'd like to see it as an NBA fan myself. So they made that move so long ago, and this might be the year where it finally bears fruit and you get to see what it finally is supposed to look like.
And if not,
well, then
Paul George for the Kings.
Blow it up.
Let me see. Do we have any other interesting tidbits? Sacramento Kings have 2 6-game homestands, one in December and one in March. They also have a 5-game homestand that runs from late March to early April. These are notes that I took. We talked about back-to-backs. The month breakdown is pretty intriguing. In October, they play 3, 2 at home, 1 on the road. In November, they play 14 games, 5 at home, 9 on the road. But again, a couple of games against teams like Houston and San Antonio, which should be at least intriguing because you have an opportunity for wins there on the road. December, they have 12 games, which is 8 at home and 4 on the road. But they also have the in-season tournament. And so that is yet to be determined. So I guess in-season tournament, the 8 best teams go for like a single elimination tournament. And then the rest of the league has extra games scheduled, 2 extra games scheduled during that gap. And from what I can tell, 1 is home and 1 is road. And then let's see, January, 6 home games, 9 road games. February, 4 home games. We got 12 total, 12, 4 home games, 8 road games, 16 in March, which 11 of which are at home, and then split right down the middle, 8 in April with 4 at home, 4 on the road. We've talked about guys you guys want to see come in. Is there anyone else? Like, I like the Chet Holmgren one. I hadn't thought about that because I think that team is going to be really fun to watch, the OKC team. OKC. There we go.
The OKC team. OKC team.
Yeah.
For me, it's teams like, you know, Milwaukee and Boston. I think that'll be, those are always fun to see, especially with a player like Jason Tatum, who is, you know, such a stud in this league, and Giannis, who is going to be, who's always in the MVP conversation. But we didn't even mention like the defending champs, you know, first time Denver rolls through. That's always, I think, no matter what sport you're looking at, if you get the defending champs on your schedule, and obviously the Kings will, because in the NBA you play everyone coming through your building. So yeah, that's always fun to see.
Yeah, that's a Saturday night game. The first time they roll through is December 2nd, Saturday night on NBA TV. And, you know, of course, I expect Michael Malone to, like, try to have the ring ceremony in Sacramento. And if not, nothing else, he'll wear his ring and then, like, a big giant ring shirt and then, like, a Suck It Vivek shirt underneath that. Like, but Brendan, what else you got?
All the divisional games are always fun. I like little stuff like Corey Joseph being on the Warriors is fun to me. I don't know how much Corey Joseph's going to play, but, you know, or like Chimezie Metu being on the Suns. Like, I like the idea of, you know, former teammates kind of jawing at each other a little bit mid game. I think that is always fun, even if it's talking to the bench or anything like that. So that's fun to me. I think Memphis already being known as a team that talks a lot of shit and is super hard-nosed, and then you add Marcus Smart to that. I think that Memphis is definitely going to be an intriguing one. I can't think of much else outside of that. Definitely, Joel Embiid has stood out to me every year. I've wanted to see Joel Embiid the last 2 years. Has not happened. I would love to see Joel Embiid in Golden 1 Center.
It's interesting you bring up Memphis because, you know, of course, Jaws out the first 25 games of the season, right? Although he's appealed that, right? So I think they're hoping that the NBA will reduce that, but I think it's less. I mean, I think it'll be that. It's funny. The schedule just got released as we're sitting here. I'm trying to see if there's another when they play Memphis December 31st in Memphis, and then I don't think that they play them again until I see them in March. I think they might only have one home game against Memphis. That's interesting. But they should at least be past their suspension stuff the first time the Kings play them. Okay. Let's get to the business of basketball. We've got all these nationally televised games. And I think nationally televised games, like, Kings fans are getting rewarded. The Kings are getting rewarded. They're not getting rewarded like the Lakers or the Warriors, where they've got 40 something games. But I think 22 is like a huge starting point, and it's probably like five or six more than I thought they would get at a minimum. I did not think that they would be this high, but I think my biggest question is, what do you think it means for the Kings to get all of these games? And I don't mean as a franchise. I think as a franchise, it's huge. Right. But for individual players who are now going to go from obscurity in Sacramento of maybe getting like four total games a year, where including NBA TV, and a lot of those get bumped, to all of a sudden they're going to be on the national stage all the time. And, you know, we have, you know, Bleacher Report come out with one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen, where they claim that Domantas Sabonis is the most overrated player in the league. Which I thought was an embarrassing piece to write for a player who just made the All-NBA team and who led a team to 18 more wins than they had the previous season. But now there won't be an excuse. Like, everyone will actually have seen the Sacramento Kings from around the league. Anyone who watches NBA TV or ESPN or TNT, they will have seen the Kings, because the Kings are going to be on TV nonstop. I mean, there was one week early in the season where the Kings are on TV Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's like the Cavs, the Lakers, and the Spurs. Like, you're going to get to see the Kings, and you will not have an excuse to say, well, maybe all I did watch was playoffs. But do you think this means something more to guys like De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, who are trying to cement themselves as long-term all-stars or long-term all-NBA players? Or do you think it's just like part of the process?
Oh, no, it's only good can come of it. You know, you're playing on that stage and you want to all it really means is that two things. You are a successful NBA product. You are a good team. And you are, in my opinion, you play an exciting brand of basketball that people want to see. And typically when you play an exciting brand of basketball, it usually leads to at least some sort of sustained success. And being a part of a winning basketball program is going to give you eyes, and this is, you're being rewarded for it. And what it does is it shows, especially for some of these young guys who, I mean, there's a lot of young guys that are still on the Kings that are just kind of stepping into that veteran area. But, you know, like De'Aaron Fox is a young vet. You know, he's still a young, but I mean, there's a level that De'Aaron Fox could still get to. He's coming off of a career year, first All-Star appearance, first winning season, first playoffs, all that kind of stuff. So I even say, even for a guy like him coming off that year, this year could even be potentially a larger one and put him in front of people's eyes. I saw our buddy Zach Lowe talk about him as an underrated MVP candidate. You know, certainly Domantas Sabonis was that as well. I mean, he finished in, I believe it was top five last year, yeah, in MVP voting. So
I think he was seven. He was seven. Sabonis was seven.
Yeah, yep. My bad. So yeah, but I mean, having guys like that in the discussion, and you get those type of accolades and attention based off of your national TV audience, and it's not just fans. And let's be honest, it's not necessarily national TV. It's international TV. I mean, The All-Star voting is all over the place, and the global game that is the NBA is, that's no small feat. I mean, it's all over the place. I was looking at a note just a minute ago. NBA games and programming are available in 214 countries and territories in more than 50 languages. So only good can come of that. But as you see with certain players who are the lightning rods and people who think that guys like James Harden and Kyrie Irving or pick your poison could, you know, whatever player could be overrated. I mean, you can also enter that fray. So it yes, attention is good, but it also brings some scrutiny along the way as well.
You got the Dominican Republic tuning in for Chris Duarte. You got Portugal tuning in for
Ricardo Brito Reyes, like calling games all night long, and now he'll actually get NBA TV and TNT and ESPN games to work with. Go ahead, Brennan.
You got Canada, Bulgaria for Sasha, with, you know, probably some Greece thrown in there as well.
Lithuania,
Canada, Lithuania, yeah. Nigeria,
Spain.
Oh yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, no, even for Domas, I mean, you know, Lithuania, right, and Spain, those are like hyphenated for him. So,
yeah, it's interesting, right? I think that like you're going to be able to see the Kings on a more global stage for sure. But like the players themselves will be able to expand their brands. And that's a good thing. Like you want your players to have success both on the court and off the court. And I think having a magnifying glass is big, but I also think it's a driving force as well. I mean, the Kings have 11 nationally televised games before the All-Star break. That gives De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, 11 games to show who they are to a national audience and gain more votes. It also, like on a Tuesday night, if you're not really filling up for a game and you look on the schedule and you're on TNT, all of a sudden things change. You're in a different mindset. You're amped up to go play that game. And so I think it especially for a guy like, how about Malik Monk, who should be able to get some six man of the year votes, but also is in a contract here. You can see those games becoming huge for him. And I feel the one guy I feel bad for is Terrence Davis, who
I was going to say the worst time to give him up.
Yeah. TNT TD. Like he always played big on the national stage, which I don't like. What does that mean? That means he played big like three times a year. Yeah. Because the national stage never came to Sacramento. But he's the one guy who, even Brennan, you brought up, I think it is kind of a strange thing that if you look at the Kings roster, they brought back so many players that there are only two guys that I think are in the league that aren't, well, one is on a different team in Chimezie Metu, and the other is Terrence Davis, who's, you know, who's a free agent still, but there isn't another player that they're going to run up against. You know, guys like Chima Moneki are overseas, or Casey Akpala, or Matthew Dellavedova, like they're not in the league right now. So there's not going to be a bunch of games where you're playing against former teammates, at least from last year. I think the Suns are the only game that you can really circle.
Yeah. And I'll just say, I do think there is a potential downside. Like last year was a big step in changing the narrative around the Kings, getting rid of like the Kangs stigma, but it was still just a step. Like that's not gone. it's not that far in the rear view. And if the Kings came out and, you know, got smacked around on a nationally televised game, somebody hasn't watched many Kings games, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, it's the Kings. Like, there is still work to be done in my mind to break that stigma, because it's not that far removed.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is all, it's all big, and we're going to get to see the Kings like get to prove a lot of people wrong or prove people right. Like, if they don't play well, the national spotlight will be shining brightly on them. Okay. We'll have more on the schedule. Like, I'll have a post up here in not too long on the Kings beat with some of the breakdowns that we've already talked about today. This will go up. It'll be a nice reaction to the NBA schedule coming out. But while we were on the pod, it actually broke. They actually put everything out there. Maybe there's a couple of tidbits of information that we missed. I'm not going to sit here and read you all 80 games that are on the schedule right now, and then minus the two for the in-season tournament. The schedule's out. It's fun. This is a good day for the NBA today, that where, you know, people are going to hash over a million different things and try to break everything down and find our nuances and, you know, have some pluses and minuses, and we'll see how the Kings schedule, you know, fares against other teams.
How about one thing that I think people would really like to hear, and that's when tickets go on sale. And that would be August 18th, Friday, August 18th. And then they do a pre-sale access, and that's available kings.com/pre-sale. And then they have 10 game plans and all kinds of plans available, but take a look at them, because, you know, you've seen these flex prices and you know how things can be. So Friday, August 18th, pre-sale access, kings.com/pre-sale, and then kings.com/10-game plan for their ticket plans that are available. So,
okay. And that's tomorrow. Yeah, just so,
that and is, if, yeah, sorry, that is tomorrow.
And if there are pre-sales, you might even have those in your inbox already if they're going to drop in pre-sales for tickets. It's definitely a big thing for the Kings. And I would point out too, the Kings, not only did they sold out all of their season ticket packages. So as of right now, they are sold out of,
I think he saw the freeze coming.
He did. He saw it. It was like, the Titanic that couldn't get out of the way of the iceberg. I mean, he saw it there.
I'm back. Stupid internet.
We just said you saw the freeze coming. You saw the Titanic heading towards the iceberg and couldn't get out of the way.
That's funny. So I'll just point out, like, Kings have sold out of season ticket packages, from what I've heard. They now have a waiting list for season ticket packages, but they also reserve a bunch of seats for single games and like what we're talking about, the 10 game packages. I would guess that the 10 game packs are going to sell out. So if you're interested in season tickets, I would go, or you're interested in like 10 game packs, I'd go buy them. It's a pretty big, this thing's taken off quickly. And if there's one thing Kings fans have always proven, is that when the team is any good at all, they show up in mass. Like, I think 19 of the first 20 seasons, they sold out 100% of the games. The only season was, I think, the 97-98 season, where they had like been good and then fell apart after Brian Grant left. So yeah, this team is building again. So if you're going to get in the building, you better go get your seats relatively quick. All right. Do we have any final thoughts? Brendan, let's start with you. What do you got? Final thoughts?
I got to talk to Keon Ellis the other day for a little while, and wrote up an article for the Kings Herald. Talked about a handful of different things, kind of went through what he learned from different coaches throughout the course of the year, Bobby Jackson, Mike Brown, and Lindsey Harding, somebody he worked pretty closely with, and how he feels about Lindsey being head coach going into next year. Some things in there about, you know, what he's working on as an individual. And I think the one thing kind of want to highlight is that he mentioned there's a good group of guys that are all working out together fairly often, and includes, you know, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Davion Mitchell, And those guys being a little in and out, obviously Keegan, Team USA, Davion, I think has gone overseas or gone back to Baylor, and De'Aaron just went overseas. But outside of that, it's been Keon, Kessler Edwards, Colby Jones, Jalen Slauson, Jordan Ford, lots of guys getting together and all working out, which I think is always great to hear in an off season.
That is good to hear. Sean, what he didn't mention Malik, right? It seems like, well, Sean, you talked to Malik last week, but it seems like Malik has been in Sacramento quite a few times this summer.
Yeah, and he's been back in Arkansas as well. But he's these guys. This is kind of like their last remaining weeks of the NBA offseason. Even though training camp doesn't begin to that first week of October, September is when they kind of all fly in and get back into their normal routines and occupy the training facility. So. Yeah, they're going to be all over the place. And then, right around the first week of September, some guys get in earlier. I think you'll see another couple trickle in by the second week, but September is when they all kind of come in. So, it's fun cause it's right around the corner. It seems like there's still quite a bit of off season left, which is a good thing for at least for me. And I kind of slide into, a lot of football, high school football for me, and you got the colleges right around the corner, and of course the NFL training camps continuing. So a lot of Niners, a lot of much more high school football, and it's fun time of year. It's a nice little refresh until it starts to get a little chilly in the air, and then basketball season's right there. So looking forward to it.
Gonna need Trey Lance to pick it up.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's third in the depth chart.
Yeah, not so. Yeah, come on now.
You don't like that, right?
I just want to see Trey Lance. Like.
Yeah.
I what's the future with Sam Darnold? You know, like,
well,
I get figuring out your two right now, but
James and I were on the radio a little over a week ago. We were talking about it, and it's like, boy, if you're Trey Lance and then you're the Niners and you ship out all this capital to bring him in and you still have some questions, maybe they don't have questions, but it's not a good sign that when you bring in a guy like Sam Darnold, who has been a serviceable quarterback on some pretty bad teams. I think he's a talented quarterback, but when you hear Kyle Shanahan, if you're Trey Lance and you hear your coach go, oh yeah, there's a lot of Steve Young there, and you're comparing him to a Hall of Famer who's, like, in my mind, one of the faces of the 49er franchise over times, that's not a good thing. You're third. So
it's funny, like, when I watched him in their preseason opener, and watching preseason football is the worst thing you can possibly do to make any sort of, it's like, yeah, watching summer league basketball, summer right? League. Yeah. But at the same time, there are things that you can see. And the thing that I will point out is it's the same exact issue that I've always had with Marvin Bagley. It's not that I don't think Marvin Bagley's talented. I think Marvin Bagley's tremendously talented and has all the potential in the world. The problem is that, like, he never played more than 20 straight games until his final year in Sacramento. And I think he ended up playing 24 straight. Like, you can see a player that hasn't been on the field. It's one thing to throw the ball to moving targets and to work on your arm strength and work on your delivery and work on all this stuff. It's a whole nother thing to be in game action, because it's not that he's making a bunch of mistakes and throwing interceptions. It's that the game speed, I mean, he's getting sacked the whole time. And sure, it was a second team line that he was playing behind, but it's also a second team defensive line a lot of the time that he was playing against, and he just didn't make quick decisions. And the quick decisions he didn't make were the things that you see from young players that are inexperienced. And this is a third year guy. And that's why Sam Darnold, doesn't matter how good he is as a starter, he still has 55 games of NFL experience as a starter under his belt. And that experience, like, teaches you how to handle things like a defensive line coming at you and not stepping in and making mistakes. So, you make it, you don't make it. That's the way the NFL works, just like the NBA. Like, either you're good enough or you're not good enough. Either you're, especially at the quarterback position, your brain works fast enough or it doesn't. And, you know, he's behind the eight ball because the other two quarterbacks he's competing with, the one has a bunch of experience and one of them gets it. And that's a problem. So
Brandon Allen might be three. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying trade him. I'm saying, like, this is about winning a Super Bowl. It's not about one player. And that means that, you know, it's the same thing with the Kings. It's about winning games. It's not about one player. And we're not going to wait around for, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, We could compare Trey Lance to Nemias Keita, and like, except for Nemias Keita hasn't got injured, but the team isn't going to wait around and see if you're good enough to play. You got to prove you're good enough to play. And that's it. Like, unfortunately for some of these young guys. Sean, was that your final thought?
I think so. Yeah. I'm just empty up here. I have no thoughts running through my mind other than a lot of upcoming assignments that have to deal with the football. So looking forward to it.
I want to like 2 seconds, send thoughts and prayers to our friends over at KCRA who lost one of their producers this last week. Tragic accident at, I believe, Folsom Lake.
Folsom Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So thoughts and prayers out to the family and to our friends at KCRA. Those things are horrible to deal with, and a really, really sad day for everyone over there. Outside of that, stick with us. We'll have a whole bunch more coming up. This is the off season, and it's hot. I don't even understand how hot it is. And it's not cooling down at night. Those are the worst days for me. I'm okay with the heat.
It does down here. It does down here. Like in the nighttime, you get a nice breeze.
It was like 86 at 11 o'clock last night. Like here, yeah. That's not, I mean, cause I like to open up the house, turn on the whole house fan, suck all that heat out, get it all out of the attic. And there's no way to do it when it's still flaming hot outside. All right. Well, we've got the schedule covered for you. You'll have more on that as we post stuff throughout the day. Make sure you're following Sean and Brendan. They too will have their own coverage in a different way of the NBA schedule getting released. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Kings Beat podcast. If you're still watching, you don't mind, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, give us a rating and review wherever you're listening to your podcast. Go to thekingsbeat.com and become a premium subscriber to the Kings Beat. We got all kinds of crazy stuff coming up. It's going to be a fun season of Kings basketball kicking off on October 25th against Utah Jazz at the Delta Center. So for Box 40, Sean Cunningham and Brendan Nunes from the Kings Pulse podcast, I'm James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. See you very soon.